In my experience, the best place to sit in any room is, acoustically, is the back rows of the balcony. You're close to the ceiling, for one. Reflections coming from the side give you a sense of space, what we call envelopment. The sound envelops you. Imagine a woman playing a violin on stage. If you can get the first one or two reflections to arrive at you soon enough and strong enough, that will make her violin sound like it's this huge picture in front of you. And if after 14 or 15 reflections, if the sound is still coming to you from the sides, it feels like you're enveloped in the sound. It's as if the sound is a cloud, and you're standing in the clouds, and you're enveloped. It's a wonderful experience.
Inside the Bailey, a theater at Toronto's Yonge Centre for the Performing Arts, John O'Keefe helped design this space more than 10 years ago. He's what you would call an acoustician, someone who has spent his entire career trying to make concert halls and auditoriums sound grand. Today, he returns to this space a little older, a little wiser, a different man.
It sounds interesting. This is a theater done on the cheap. We're under the balcony right now. That's one sound. But let's go out onto the stage. And I don't know if you can hear it on radio, but you start to hear the room a bit more. Let me walk away from you a bit. You start to hear the reflections in the room a bit more. And this is something that gives the sound majesty, and it gives an actor a way to impress himself or herself on the audience. He sounds grand. But in this room, and this is a balance that we always have to work with, is especially in a theater, you have to understand the words. So, yes, you can be grand. But you also have to be able to be understood.
And that's what John does. He helps us understand. The music in the air, the actor on stage. You can find his work all across Canada. Toronto's Princess of Wales Theatre, the Medicine Hat Arts and Heritage Centre, all the way to Vancouver's Queen Elizabeth and Orpheum Theatre.
I want it to be the best. You know, you're young and you're driven, and you're sometimes, I guess sometimes you're driven because you're insecure, and I was driven. I was seriously driven. And I thought I was just going to set the world on fire.
And he did. There's more than 35 buildings on John's resume. He's won the Schreyer, which is Canada's top engineering award. And he's also a professor in architecture and engineering. But there's this assumption that continues to bother him.
People have this perception that if you're going to hire an acoustician to design your concert hall, and we're talking tens of millions of dollars here, And if you don't know anything about science because you're the money person, he's got to have perfect hearing. Of course, he must.
But John, who's 58, doesn't have perfect hearing. And he hasn't for a long time.
He did have a very mild high-frequency hearing loss when I met him at first.
31 years? No, it's more than that.
Two.
That's Jacqueline Hayden. Not only is she John's wife, she's an audiologist. the last person you can hide this sort of thing from. I asked her how she knew John was losing his hearing.
Because of his difficulties understanding what I was saying or mishearing what I was saying.
We were in a few pubs at the time.
No, I'm talking about family dinner just around a table.
In those early years when he was in his 30s, for instance, when you used to call him on his hearing loss,
mm-hmm.
what was the reaction?
Dismissal to a great extent. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm fine.
Yeah, she's probably bad.
Yeah, but pride is always a factor in acknowledging a hearing loss. Always. Say the word sad.
Sad.
Say the word chief.
Tooth.
Say the word merge.
Merge.
6 months ago, John visited Jacqueline at work, and she convinced him to do an informal hearing test.
Say the word numb.
Numb.
Say the word keep.
Keep.
Say the word dab.
Dad.
The result? 35 decibels down at 2,000 hertz, a high-frequency hearing loss. To understand what that means, imagine yourself experiencing the world from the other side of a heavy, well-sealed door. It's the difference between this...
And now the weather forecast. Cloudy skies, flurries, there's a chance of freezing drizzle, fog patches developing...
And this.
Temperature rising to zero by morning. Friday cloudy, periods of rain in the afternoon, the high 5 degrees.
Speech, in particular, is a problem.
The high frequencies are where all the unvoiced consonant sounds are, the T and K and P sounds, and the S and the F and the TH sounds. Those are the sounds which give words their edges and their clarity and their ability to distinguish one word from the next, like sigh, thigh, thigh, for instance.
All things considered, John got along fine at work. He's got the cred, the name recognition. He'd walk into a client meeting and get the job done. It was at home where the hearing loss seemed most noticeable.
Come on in. This is my daughter, Kate.
And hi, nice to meet you.
The dog, Beamish.
We're at John's house in Toronto's West End. His daughters, Kate and Ellen, join us at this large oak wood table. I asked them when they knew their dad was having trouble hearing.
It's kind of the cliche and stereotypical things of having to turn things up, speak a little louder, and also repeat it in different frequencies. There's that, yeah.
Like, I would say one word and he would think that it was a completely different word. I would say the word bell and he would probably mistake it for the word pancake or something like that.
If there's anything wrong with me, they'll tell you about it.
I have a question. I remember when we were young, we were told that you were a bit hard of hearing, and we were told to sort of keep that a secret because you were always very insecure about it. At first, I didn't really know what that meant, but do you think that's changed? Do you think your confidence has changed since then?
I don't remember that. But yeah, I would have been less secure then. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, older and wiser and got all these awards and all that stuff. Maybe I would have had a problem when I was in my 30s or something like that, admitting it. But now it's just, it's just me. It's just me.
Come on down. We had this renovated.
Afterwards, John and I go to the downstairs rec room, and I ask him what his daughter Kate meant. What was so scary about acknowledging something as common as hearing loss?
It's rare in our profession for people to admit it to themselves. It's funny, it's okay for architects or artists to wear glasses. It's not okay for an acoustician to wear hearing aids. It just doesn't look good. You may not win a job, and I'm still concerned about that. You go into an interview and... the people who are going to hire you are hiring you because you're an expert and they don't know your stuff. You don't get hired by your peers. You get hired by your superiors financially. And they're going to look at your hearing aids and go, we're going to hire an expert on acoustics and he can't hear? That's the attitude out there.
It's tough to pin down exactly when John started to lose his hearing, partly because it took a while for him to acknowledge it. But something did change, because 6 months ago, John did get hearing aids.
It wasn't one event. It was several times saying, could you repeat that, please? Sorry, could you say that again? And what was really embarrassing was when I was lecturing, I'm supposed to be the acoustics professor, and someone would ask a question in the lecture hall, and I would have to walk up to them and say, could you say that again, please? Doesn't look good now, does it?
John's laptop is right in front of us on the coffee table. Later in the night, he opens it to show me something.
Huh? Oh, here we go. This is what I use, or used to use, to test rooms. We'd have computers and all kinds of wonderful things to give us graphs, numbers. But there's nothing like music. And this is some of the most beautiful music you'd ever want to hear. And what's good about it for testing the acoustics of your room is Mr. Gould had the driest sound. He didn't have any room in there. And if you want to test your room, you can't have a recording that has some other room imposed upon it. And it's just a perfect way to test a room. Better than, as good or better than any computer printout or graph or numbers could tell you.
Now, is that a way to test a room or what? You're going to design a good concert hall in Canada, and how are you going to test it? The best Canadian musician ever. It's so, and you know what's ironic is he couldn't stand concert halls, and I use his music to test my concert halls. I'm sure he'd be rolling over in his grave, but I don't care.
How do I turn it off? There we go.
Hello. Do you remember me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I was wondering. Yeah, I saw your course. Like, I'm taking this. He's teaching.
We're at the University of Toronto. Professor John O'Keefe is about to give his first lecture of the semester on acoustic engineering.
I, like you, I hope, believe that good engineering design does affect the human condition. The caveat is that I'm talking about oral design. Most of you, when you think of aesthetics, you presuppose a visual experience. I hope to open your eyes and your ears to the aesthetics of sound.
None of these ideas are new to John, but there is one he's been thinking about a lot lately.
Why should you care about sound in the built environment? In a performance venue, the reasons are obvious. Less obvious might be, for example, an elementary school classroom. Well, it's a classic case of engineering design influencing the behavior and the quality of life. That's what I mean by an engineer's social responsibility.
If there's been one interesting consequence of John's hearing loss, it's that these days, the concert hall expert is much more interested in classrooms and how sound affects the way kids learn. Two days later, we're in a medical building uptown to figure out how much John has learned. It's been 6 months since he got hearing aids, and his wife, Jacqueline, is doing a follow-up test. The hallway outside her audiology clinic is packed with mothers and kids in strollers.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm here for Jacqueline.
She actually just stepped out. I think she...
She did? She had the temerity?
As we take a seat in the waiting room, John pulls a booklet off the magazine rack.
Oh my goodness, look at this. This one says, noise, a menace to your hearing health, and it is true. I was warned that my hearing aids would, you know, make me feel the whole world was noisy. And I hear wonderful sounds now. I turn the page of my newspaper and I hear it rustle. We were sitting out in our backyard. Our house is surrounded by trees, and I could hear the wind rustling through the leaves. I hear my middle-aged bones crackling more than I used to. And we have a house that's 100 years old, and I hear the floorboards creaking. But I don't think any of this is noise. It's just a better experience of life. It's like having a door open as the door opens there. It's like having a door open again.
The door in question was opened by Jacqueline.
Shall we head in?
Sure.
She leads us into what's known as an audiometric booth, which is the same dim, soundproof box where John was tested 6 months ago.
There you go.
Okay.
John takes off his hearing aids, and he sits in front of a small window that looks into his wife's office.
Okay, so I am going to be presenting some words to you through a set of earphones, and I want you to just repeat the words after me. And sometimes my voice will be very, very, very quiet, so just do the best you can to say the same words that I do. Okay?
Back in Jacqueline's office, she puts on a headset and she fidgets with a control panel that kind of looks like the helm of a tiny spaceship.
Okay, Mr. O'Keefe, you should be hearing me just in your left ear right now.
That's correct.
Can you say the word mushroom?
Mushroom.
Say the word eardrum.
Eardrum.
Say the word cupcake.
Toxic.
Say the word toothbrush.
Toothbrush.
Jacqueline is looking for something called neuroplasticity, evidence that wearing hearing aids is helping John's brain decipher speech.
Say the word birthday. Say the word outside.
Iceman.
Say the word juice.
Juice?
Good. So he got a score of 84. 84%, which incidentally is about 20% better than you did 6 months ago. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So that, again, is the neuroplasticity coming into effect. His speech discrimination score has improved because he's been wearing the hearing aids for 6 months.
I didn't think it had improved at all, but I guess it did.
Mm-hmm. So we'll go to the left ear, and again, at a 40 dB sensation.
I probably denied that I had a hearing loss for 4 or 5 years. Recognizing it was the best thing I ever did. Best thing I ever did.
John says acknowledging his hearing loss has brought him closer to his wife, and his daughters say that their dad seems a lot more confident these days. The only big question mark is what's going to happen when John starts designing again. 1 year ago, John left the company that he helped build, but still has plans to strike out on his own, this time as an acoustician with hearing aids.
We're going to see. We're going to see. I've always been an iconoclast. In my mind, if they don't want me, that's their problem, not mine. You know, I may say that differently a few years from now when I haven't got any work. But that, for now, I'm sticking to it.